Like to welcome everybody out for our little presentation. My name is Scott Lang. This is Paul Cox. Well, hopefully we'll disseminate some information for you that'll be useful and helpful. How many of you are familiar with these things, zebra mussels? Are you dealing with them personally, or you just heard of them?
Hope they never come. We're in Wyoming.
Well, they're trying to keep them out of there, that's for sure. These critters are a problem, so we're going to talk a little bit about them and then a little bit about what we can do. So if you haven't seen them, this is a basic idea of what they look like. We've got the zebra and a cousin to that, the quagga mussel. Now, this is what they do, and it's a big problem for a lot of people. If you're a boat owner, if you're an owner of anything in the water, your marina, any other structure that you have in the water, they will build up just like that. Crayfish included. They don't care. If it's a solid surface, they're going to mount to it. And underwater, they start to cover the base of the lakes. They'll clog up the pipes. It's a shopping cart that was removed out of a lake. And here's one of the best pictures. This is outside of Green Bay. That's 2 feet thick, those mussel shells. Now,
yeah, as a matter of fact, they started in the Great Lakes in the 1980s, came over from the Caspian Sea. So they came over on big tankers, and they were let go or allowed to go ahead and infest the lake. Now, they were brackish saltwater mussels, and they adjusted extremely well to the water in the Great Lakes, and they flourished from there, and then they piggybacked everywhere from that point on. That's for the zebra mussels for the most part. The quagga mussels have come in from a slightly different route, again from the Caspian Sea, cousins, but they came in from the California area and have traveled that direction and are moving up. So in Lake Mead and Lake Powell and Havasupai and lakes like that, you're going to have a lot more of the quagga mussels. And in the Great Lakes and the regions coming down from the Great Lakes, you're going to go ahead and have the zebra mussels.
So the big question is, why do we care? And we care because they are spreading quite rapidly, even though it's been about 40 years since they were introduced. They are spreading all over the country. So as you can see here, everything in red, we know it. They're there, and they are causing problems. And the green is non-contaminated, so we're not too many areas left that do not have these mussels involved. Now, the costs involved in these mussels vary. There's physical costs that we can talk about here, and there's cost to our time and our effort. I mean, how much is it worth to you to spend 8 hours cleaning a boat off one day instead of spending 8 hours on the boat on the lake? So some of the sectors with major costs, we have the agricultural and irrigation. These are estimated annual costs. That $14 million is going into that. Municipal water supplies, we're at $9 million, and we got $12 million in recreational and boating. Specifically speaking of costs, in Colorado, we have the General Assembly approved a bill to charge everyone to use the waters in Colorado. So if you're a resident, you pay one price. If you're a non-resident coming in for the weekend, you're going to pay the $50. So they're charging everyone extra money on top of the tax dollars that they're already collecting and using.
The purpose of that money is to try to get some enforcement. They're taking that money and applying it to enforcing and checking.
Education and enforcement. Yes.
And cleanup. They're just, it's just, from what I have seen, it's just coming out of how the General Assembly allocates money. They're not assessing a specific tax. So it's coming out of the general fund, and they're just going to apply it this way. So if some other place needs more money, then it's just going to get jacked up, and more money's going to be brought in and charged to the individuals involved. Idaho is taking $3 million annually in their attempt to keep the mussels out of the state. $350 million is spent in Texas. Now, this isn't a very interesting one. What they did is they created a pipeline to bypass several lakes in order to help eliminate the option of collecting the mussels along the way. They were running several lakes through to get into the municipal water supply, and they decided to build a pipeline out of what they deemed was a reasonably clean lake and bring the water in that way. Montana has $6 million that they've dumped into a fund for inspection and education. Now, the country of Canada is spending just as much money. In the province of Ontario, we're $75 to $91 million a year, which includes the education, includes the cleanup as well. In the entire country, we're looking at $7 billion. The Canadian side of the Great Lakes, just the intake pipes, is costing $250 million. And everything that they're doing along the Great Lakes is about $500
million.
A year. Annually.
That's not prevention. That's the clean. That's just trying to liberate.
That's cleaning them up.
That's pretty much everything. They're cleaning up. They're doing prevention. The inspection sites, everything that they think will help, that they can earmark towards this, is coming out of there. The power industry, and this is what's going to affect pretty much everyone, but if you own and operate your marina, your power bill is going to go up. And that's going to affect everything else that you do there. $60 million a year is being spent just in the power industry. When they have to shut down that pipe, that's $5,000 an hour to clean it out. In a 10-year period, they're looking at $3.1 billion. Everybody's going to pay that cost. Now, one study shows that homeowners in parts of Minnesota have had their values drop by a third. So you're living on a lake that's infested, now people don't want to buy your house. And so the supply of buyers brings that price down. Now, one real estate expert in Minnesota said that can kind of fluctuate. If you've been on a lake that hasn't had zebra mussels and you've had them, you can see how the panic starts as soon as we find them in a lake. And he attributes part of this to that initial panic. But the other side of it is, how are the people going to use those homes? If they're just an older retired couple, they just want to be on the lake and look at the lake, it's probably not going to bother them that there are zebra mussels in there. But if you're the one selling it, you're going to take less, right? So that might be a problem. So if the homeowners are having issues, commercial properties then should have issues as well. But no one's done a study on that yet. But it's likely to be able to extrapolate the same idea behind that. So you're ready to retire, want to sell your marina. Now it's worth less because you've got zebra mussels, potentially. So what can we do about it? Well, the big thing that most people have heard of is the don't move a mussel. We're not going to move anything from one lake to another. Now, no one has bothered to tell all the seagulls and the birds that are flying over crapping mussels into the lakes yet. So we work with a particular...
You tell me seagulls transport these little
things? The birds do when they crap them out.
So they go out and they eat something like 200 miles and dump?
Yep.
We didn't hear that one.
We work with a company in Ohio that quarries gravel. No boats are in and out of that water, and all their equipment is clogged.
The first time we went into that facility, first of all, we had to go ahead and their water is then used for the drinking water in the city of Columbus. So we had to go ahead and have the city of Columbus okay our product first. But when we went in, they had three pumps, $75,000 pumps, that needed to go ahead and spin water out, put it over the gravel, and once it was on the gravel, it would go ahead and rinse it off. Mussels were there. Mussels were in the intakes of the pumps. They were clogging them up. They had a $75,000 pump fail on them. We went in, we cleaned the mussels off. Went ahead and installed a product that we produce. Had that there, and 6 months later went back and checked, and we had six mussels in the same area that we had crustaceans, 2 inches thick in some areas. So we'll get into that in a little bit. And the mussels need to understand they live 4 or 5 years. They can produce over 500,000 young, and they are microscopic, yeah.
One mussel.
One mussel. Yeah, one mussel.
It's a big problem for such a little thing. And that's why everybody is afraid of these things. And that's why they keep telling you not to move them. And what they want you to do is be very aware of everything that you put in and out of the water to make sure that it's not containing these mussels when you go from one lake to another. If you've got a service, and you're building docks on one lake to the next, and you're bringing the barge out of this lake and putting it into that lake, that's a problem. What they're telling everybody to do is inspect everything. Inspect every part of the trailer, every part of the boat. I mean, how much time does this take when you pull out? I mean, when you're done on the lake for the day, you just want to get home and get settled again. So we've got the clean, drain, and dry program that goes on with this, which the programs that are out there, there's nothing really inherently wrong. Doing something is better than nothing.
However. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real question.
In some
states will go ahead and say 5 days. Mm-hmm. So it seems pretty coincidental that you can pull the boat out of the water on Sunday and put it back in on Friday. Okay?
So the mussels,
they're
living in the water. But they can live outside of the water for as many as 14 days. Okay? And if you get into areas where they're in the shade, they'll certainly extend that life to a 14-day period. Or if you get areas where you're in a high dew point, or you've had rain, you're going to go ahead and continue to allow them to thrive. And realize that they're small as grains of sand when they're young. Okay? So clean, drain, and dry is a wonderful theory. It's a great thing to go ahead and get started. Like we say, there are some states that say 5 days. That happens to be New Hampshire right there. It says 5 days. The state of Texas talks about a week or more. Okay, which is admirable. You need to go ahead and try to do that. You want them in the sunlight as much as you can. You want to make sure that you've done all the cleaning you can. There are other things you can do. You can go ahead and high pressure wash them with the sudsy water. But that water is supposed to be 140 degrees or hotter. Okay? Well, it's an issue, sudsy water. Okay, but that's one of the ways to go ahead and combat it. That's at least what the government has gone ahead and given us options to do. And it does control some. Okay. One of the things misconceptions are that this is going to be something we're going to be able to quickly eradicate. And obviously they're not. When they can go ahead and each one of them produce a 500,000 young in their lifespan, they're going to be forever.
That's why they're once they're in a lake, they're not disappearing. Now you'll see them ebb and flow, based on the climate conditions, the food conditions, and in Missouri where I'm from, the lakes are a lot different than they are out west. Out west, you see a lake, it's flat, you can see all the way across it, it's a big hole in the ground with water. Come further east, we get more finger lakes, and so up one arm of a lake can be completely clean. The lake can be identified as infested. But you can be up on your arm of the lake and not see any evidence of the mussels, but they're there. And even though they ebb and flow, some years are going to be virtually nothing for you. The next year they can explode and be all over the place in a matter of a month. And it's incredible how these little critters can survive and what they can do. And that's part of the problem. So you might not see something today, even though your lake has been classified as infested come June. It could be a totally different story. And it could be fine for 4 or 5 years on that arm of the lake, and suddenly it kicks back up for 4 or 5 years.
And we've talked to some people who gone ahead and told us their lake is cleaner than it's ever been. And that's really a false read for them. They need to understand that. It's cleaner because what? Those mussels are going ahead and taking that water in. They're cleaning all the nutrients out of that water. It makes it clear, but it doesn't make it healthier. And it doesn't make it better for the fish that are trying to go ahead and live in those areas.
A lot of those areas you're seeing fewer fish, you're seeing smaller fish because their food sources are disappearing. So there's a whole realm of costs involved in these little critters. And what we can do, and what you can do, is one of these programs, the clean, drain, and dry, but it doesn't eliminate everything. Like I said, if you know anybody who's following these principles, you know, who's using 140 degree water? Who's keeping the boat out of the water for 14 days? No one is. Some states will say 7 days, some states will say 5. You figure they want you, you're coming out of the water on Sunday afternoon, they want you back the next weekend, right? That's where all of you as old marina owners and operators are making your money, is everybody coming to the marina. Now, if you're not killing everything, you're bringing it right back. If on day 4 you get a high dew point, like Paul said, we're right back starting all over again. You should keep that boat for start day 1 right there before you put it back in the water. But nobody's doing that. So these critters are always going to be around. They're always going to be a problem. And in the marina industry, which what brought us about when our product, when we were thinking about how to get it out there and where it would be best used, we've talked to some operators that have people on their staff, their maintenance staff, that they've got to suit up and jump in the water and clean these things off of whatever's under there. And it's getting to be a real problem. For your customers, they've got their boat sitting there. You know, what are you doing for them to help them not have that problem? Or is that slip their responsibility? They're just paying you to have it, have their boat there. There's things to think about with this. So these costs are not just hard costs, but they're also time and effort costs. And if you're paying somebody to do zebra mussel scraping, what could they be doing for the marina? Inspection stations that were coming up, all that money that we said the states are spending, they're putting it towards these things as well. They're having to supply manpower.
Or dog power.
Now, muscle dogs are great. If you ever follow them, you see their stories. They do a really good job of finding these things. But again, that's another cost that's going into it. It's created an industry, obviously, somebody to raise and train these dogs to do this. But now somebody has to pay for that, and we're all doing it. And we get to our product, a mussel repellent. Our theory is we can't really beat them. We don't want to join them and create a bigger problem, but we want to create a space where they're not around, where they're not affecting us. That's the first step. Other people have tried to kill these things, and they've killed everything else in the lake, and we don't want that. So our principles behind this is to repel the product. It's a completely safe, environmentally friendly product. We're not killing anything. We're not destroying anything in that environment. The grass will still grow. It's growing there. Unless it's invasive and you don't want that, then you got to dive down and take it out yourself. But you can still fish right off the dock with this product hanging there. The dock disc repels the mussels. We create a 15-foot spherical radius wherever one of these discs is. So our example is a 24-foot slip. You drop 3 of these in that slip, and that zone becomes a mussel-free zone. You're not going to get buildup anywhere within that 15-foot space. So all of the equipment there is going to be protected. The dock itself, the boat, anything in the water in that area is protected.
I'll give you a little explanation of what happened. 2004, a friend of mine went ahead and started developing a cure, or trying to go ahead and work with algae blooms in Lake Ulagon in Oklahoma. And when he did that, he found out that he was came up with a solution. It was mediocre with the algae blooms, but he found that he had done something with these little critters, the mussels inside the inside the area. He said they weren't around where he put these things that he was testing. 2012, he came to me and says, what's a zebra, you know, I want you to work with zebra mussels. And I said, where is that on the body? So he went ahead and told me that what the issue was, we started working on it. We developed the delivery system. The delivery system is very simple. It's a 7.5-inch disc. It's about 1 inch thick, okay? It's coated with a proprietary blend of minerals that once it's exposed to the water and the water flows through it, it creates an ionic exchange which takes place. The ionic exchange creates that cloud that Scott talked about that's 15 feet in diameter around the disc, okay? and it's going to go ahead and work for a period of time to keep that area what we call zebra-free or a zebra-free zone. So,
let me give you another example there. There was a dock owner that I talked to. They were having a problem with their water bill. The water line running out on the docks was there underneath. They didn't, if it's coming through the water or hanging on the dock, if it's hanging right up on the dock, you could probably see a pinhole spring out. What had happened was a small pinhole, and over 8-9 months, he was like, there's something absolutely wrong with this water bill. It's not right. They found the pinhole, had to replace the pipe. If that pipe's in the water running out there, that pipe is now exposed to the small microscopic bacilli of the mussels. They get in that pipe, they clog it up, and your whole system is shot. And that's happening on boats. We've got you got your large boats with the intakes, and those are getting clogged up with the mussels. So when you're at rest in a dock with this product around it, you're keeping the mussels away, and you're keeping the opportunity for them to get in there and clog everything up and cause you to replace the motor, cause you to redo all your air conditioning system because that coolant intake has been clogged. So this product is there to help maintain that muscle-free zone, like we say, to give you the opportunity to not have to spend so much time sending someone into the water to clean off whatever structure needs to be cleaned off. Gives the boat owner a peace of mind that they don't have to worry about anything wrong with their boat. So there's a couple of opportunities with this product, whether it's something you just have as retail, or if you want to outfit your entire marina and call it a muscle-free marina, throw a couple extra bucks on everybody's slip rental to cover the costs, make a couple extra dollars, free up some time that was there being spent on cleaning up areas where these are building up. That's a couple of options.
It does have industrial applications as well. Like we had mentioned, the aggregate group that used it, they found that they had a 60% reduction in their energy costs once we were able to go ahead and make that a zebra-free zone in their intakes for the pumps that they were using in that particular lake.
What about the tidal drifts?
Tidal drifts?
Rivers.
Okay, well, of course, the mussels don't like necessarily attach in areas where you're going to go ahead and have a lot of current. Okay, so that's why they're doing a lot more in the lakes than they are in the rivers. Okay.
Well, we're in a location along the Hudson River.
Hudson River, okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
And we took a marina out this year, and all our poles, our docks.
All covered with them, loaded with them.
Jesse docks, yeah. They must have weighed a
bunch of pounds. Absolutely. Absolutely. Our product will work in that environment, okay? Just like they will stay in. The issues that we have with the product that we produce, it's got, obviously, there's no energy other than the ebb and flow of the water through it. So if you got a lot of salt in it, so the pH is going to go ahead and affect it slightly. The current is going to affect it slightly as well. Sunlight, cold temperatures. Okay, those are the four major things that are going to go ahead and kind of tweak with the length that the thing will last. The energy is still going to go ahead and be generated out, and it's still going to go ahead and last for that approximately 15 foot in diameter around the thing. But instead of lasting 6 months, it might last 8 months in a colder water temperature with a lower pH. Okay.
So your product, you put a product on,
yeah,
the spray, and the mussels,
at the
time when it's 2 feet of ice on
the lake? they're a lot more dormant, yes, mm-hmm, during that period of time. Okay. But we suggest, obviously, this country's a large country. In the northern regions, we suggest that you can probably get away with one disc per season, per year. In the south, in Texas, and areas like that, they're using them twice a year, every 6 months. Okay.
No, they've, like I said, they've been around for over 40 years, and we're still trying to do something about them. This is the only product out there that works the way we have designed it. It's the only product that really that does anything for the prevention of the mussels. Like I said, again, it's yeah,
it pushes them back, but it does two other things we know. It goes ahead and kind of messes with their, you know, central nervous system sex. So it can reduce populations extremely slowly. Okay, we're not going to say it's going to happen in a decade. But in areas that we've tested where we've had them in close confines, we know that we can go ahead and reduce production muscles.
Floats.
Yep. Be on the floats. We talked to somebody who had a crank lift and they clogged up the piping and they couldn't crank. They couldn't get the lift cranked up.
Exactly right. So we find that, you know, this is, you know, the media that we chose. It's a reticulated foam, so it's going to go ahead and be porous to allow that water to flow through it. It's relatively small, so it can go ahead and be used almost anywhere. It can be used directly off of a boat, directly off of a pier, directly off of a buoy, almost anything you can imagine.
We can go. You got floating lights in the water? Hang them around there. You'll keep them clean.
Do you have any studies in peer-reviewed journals?
Not yet.
Not yet. You offering? So that's the information that we wanted to bring to you, let you know that the zebra mussel problem, why it's such a problem. They reproduce so rapidly, and they're so microscopic in that early stage. They get into everything. It doesn't matter what it is. Like I said, the houseboats out on Lake Powell, their air conditioning system and cooling intakes are getting clogged up, and people are having to replace those. You can put, if you don't want to protect the whole dock, you can literally just hang it around the back side of the boat where the motor is, and be protect your prop and everything back there.
There's signs of a grain.
Right.
There's signs of a grain of sand. It gets sucked in your intake, and then it attaches something to start growing.
And start growing, exactly.
Food sources in the lake.
Yep.
Yep. Now, we had two brothers in Lake Powell. Both have houseboats, pretty good-sized houseboats, 80-foot houseboats. One buys 12 discs from us, and the other one buys four.
Yeah.
Four
to protect the intakes.
Four intake for his intakes. And we asked the one, he says, well, your brother buys 12 and you buy four. And the one brother goes and says, yes, this one buys 12. He says, yes, but I spend half as much in fuel as he does because he's got the drag that he's got because he's going ahead and pulling around these mussels with him the rest of the area, but he is protecting his intakes.
Protecting the intakes, but there's so much of a buildup on the front end of that 80-foot boat that it's creating so much drag. So that's where this becomes flexible. And if your grounds are using a pump intake from the lake to bring in the water to water the grounds, then we can protect that intake as well. It's a pretty simple process. And we've had a client in Oklahoma that did that with their pump intake, and like I said, our commercial application as well. It's just a serious problem that we're trying to help out with.
So the big question is, what cost for one of these?
For you, in New York.
I don't know. I don't know.
Everything is more expensive in New York, right?
I don't know if this is the form for that, but we're at $315 upstairs. So we'll talk to anybody about that you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so,
please.
I'm sorry,
All very good questions. Okay, start with, we provide a hanging system with them the first time we go ahead and give them out. Okay, in that hanging system, it's very simply a rudimentary hanging system, but we want to suspend them in the water approximately 4 feet in the water, unless we're trying to protect something that's on the floor of the lake. Okay, so we'll put them in about 4 feet in the water, string them on a cord with some carabiners. Every 6 months, or if you have a high algae time, you want to bring them up and rinse them off, put them back in the water. But every 6 months, you'll pull them out of the water, replace the inner disc, and just put it back in the water from that period on. Okay? They are eco-friendly. They are biodegradable. But you don't want them just sit in the bottom of the ocean or the bottom of the lake. We want to go ahead and get them
pull
back.
Pull them out and go right to a foam recycler.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain
how this works
more?
How it works? Yeah. Real simply. It's got two elements that are on an inner disc. As the inner disc is lowered into the water then goes ahead and flows through it. It activates these two minerals, and they collide. They keep fighting against each other. It creates an ionic exchange, kind of a cloud, invisible cloud in the water, and that's how it works. And what it does is messes with their central nervous system. They don't like it. It's uncomfortable for them, so they'll leave the area if they're not already attached like they are in the propeller there. So the first thing we say, instead of clean, drain, and dry, you've got to go ahead and clean them off. And once you clean them off, you go ahead and
deploy it.
Deploy it.
And then you replace it.
And then you replace it every 6 months. Those are our three.
Exchange, you say that's an account of an exchange. It's not repellent. It's creating sort of a positive charge, are you telling me?
It's a force field. Like, yeah, keeps them away. Yeah, sir.
You said they're eco-friendly. Have you had any issues with, say, bodies of water or jurisdictions not approving these or saying you can't put them in the water? I know, for example, TVA is just throw out benthic barriers. You may have heard of those for like invasive weeds. You know, that's a very eco-friendly product. It's not, you're not putting in, but TVA won't allow you to deploy these things in the water.
We've had some discussions. We've had to go ahead and come up against some of those types of discussions. There are still some very narrow-minded people that don't really want to go ahead and open up their thought patterns. And then there's others that are good. Like I said, we're using this in an application. It's used for City of Columbus water source, okay, drinking water. So, and it's been approved and highly touted to be working in that area and still not causing any issues at all.
In Texas, in the Lake Travis area, the Lower Colorado River Authority, we've spoken with them, we've worked with them, and they're perfectly fine with it being in the water down there as well. So if there's, you know, if you're going to take this product on, per se, and you need us to speak to anybody, we have no problem with that. And usually once they understand it, unless they're, you know, just blinders on and extremely narrow-minded, everybody usually gets it.
Got to understand also, as we went to the EPA about it, you want to go ahead and get a designation of either a pesticide or a pesticidal device. We are a pesticidal device, okay? We are not out to kill anything. We don't want to kill anything. We are as eco-friendly as they come, okay? But we do want to go ahead and move them from the area that we're in. So we're the only company out there that has produced a product that they can go ahead and say that the EPA has put a designation on it as a pesticidal device versus a pesticide. It will keep other native mussels away. It'll keep barnacles and things of that nature away, we believe. We've had some preliminary tests in saltwater applications. We believe it works. We haven't had any guys who have docks complain about not being able to fish off their dock. Okay?
If anything, I would think you'd possibly see more, and this is just extrapolating based on what the mussels do. When they filter the water, they're filtering the food source for the fish, and if they're not there, the food source has an opportunity to grow. So if anything, you might see a few more fish.
But we're not going to cure cancer today. But we do know that it has great applications and it does work in many areas.
Is there a point that they will really starve themselves out? Obviously, make the lake very, very fresh.
Sure, they will.
They will die down,
certainly. And there have been there have been many lakes that they have done that where they've died down. It's the good old story about supply and demand, right? If there's food there, they're going to eat and they're going to gorge themselves. There's some in Great Lakes. Is it Superior? No, Superior is the deepest lake, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not Superior. Lake Michigan, where they go ahead and have what they call planktonal rain, because they have warmer water temperatures, and it drops into the water, and they're just sitting there, basically open their mouths in the bottom of the ocean. They say there are 960 quadrillion mussels on the floor of that lake and growing because they just can't because the food sources are there. Food sources are taken away. The lake becomes clear or clean in many people's minds. It's become truly a less healthy lake.
And it's, of course, unfiltered, destroyed more of them.
Right. Yeah. They do cause botulism, too. The waters as they filter in them in great abundance causes botulism. So.
Well, the product itself is porous, and we need water to flow through. So algae will clog those pores. If you have a bloom, you're going to need to pull it out, rinse it off, and then put it back in, and it's perfectly fine. The algae will just rinse right off of it. But the initial tests, we go back to those initial tests, were for algae. And the results were okay. They weren't great, but the results with the mussels was what was fascinating, because that was tremendous. And so our product's been in the water for over 5 years now, and we've had success all over the country with it. And we have run into algae blooms, but when you pull it out, rinse it off, and put it back, you're perfect. You're good for the rest of the duration if you're within that 6 months.
So I'm marine is in Lake Tahoe, and
yeah.
We have some invasive weeds and things, and so there's an agency wants an AIS prevention program. You know, we don't have invasive species yet in the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm imagining, you know, okay, great, I can get this disc, I can put it in the right pattern around the marina to be proactive towards something showing up in the marina.
Certainly.
But let's say someone does pull into the harbor and they already have, their prop already looks like that. Do these mussels just fall off?
No.
And no.
And what happens at that point?
Well, if they're built up like that, they're dead. So what happens with that crustacean, they attach and then more attach on top and more attach on top, and then it's just layers of dead until you get out to that last layer, until it dies.
You're on the California side?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I guess
the inspection stations are not going to go ahead and ever let a prop like that go into that area.
I guess it's okay. Theory-based, but yeah. What happens to a living mussel when it comes in contact with this 15-foot
if it's very close to that 15-foot sphere, it is going to go ahead and die. Okay?
And then if it falls and hits the ground, it doesn't. It's done at that point.
It's not done.
Right.
Come back to life.
Yeah. We had a.
Was the buddy give birth to 1,000 little critters? They take two?
Yes. But they're not. Okay. One of the nice things about Lake Tahoe is the depth and the temperature of the water. Okay? There's going to go ahead and be it's going to be a lot less chance of going ahead and having them get flourishing groups.
That's part of why you see the ebb and the flow in the population. If your lake is normally warm and you have a few cold summers, you're going to see a difference in how they spawn out.
Typically, they're not like cold, deep waters, no.
Flow in and flow out is the same. Mm-hmm. I live in a place where we have a reservoir. The flow coming in is the same flow leaving. We retain some amount of water, and we get 2 feet of ice in the lake.
You're so good.
Deep, maybe deep as 40 feet.
I think you're going to be safer than a lot of other lakes. Yeah.
How long is Lake Powhead Mussels?
How long is that Lake Powhead Mussels? We know that in 2012 and 14 that they were great numbers.
Whereabouts in Missouri are you from? Do you have mussels there?
Lake of the Ozarks.
Lake of the Ozarks.
Certain elements.
The Missouri River, the Mississippi River.
Mississippi has it too. And the Osage Beach have
it. The entire Lake of the Ozarks is written off by the state of Missouri as infested. But again, it's a finger lake, so different arms of the lake are going to see the ebb and flow differently. It's not like everywhere you go on the lake, you're going to see the buildup. So when we have warmer winters, we're coming into spring, when they spawn out, the temperatures are better for them, so you're going to have more of that buildup at that time. If everything is running cold, super cold all winter, you're going to have less You know, the conditions in which the lake is, from the climate to the food source, all affect these critters. And that's why one year you see them and one year you don't. But once they build up, like we've shown in some of these pictures, and I thought this one actually had the date on it, but it doesn't.
Spawning periods. They have spawning periods the same everywhere. They spawn one time a year. When's that? In March?
Typically towards May, June.
Mm-hmm. Warmer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're spring. So. You ask about cold water with regards to that. Okay, the five Great Lakes, okay? Lake Superior is the deepest. It is the coldest. It has the smallest population of mussels. There are a couple things that come into play there. They say the temperature of the water, the food source, the amount of food there is in there for them. And the other thing is the amount of calcium in the water. Calcium obviously used for the building of the shells. So, if you don't have a couple of those things there, you can reduce your chances of going ahead and having greater infestations.
And there's no natural no fish.
So. There's some fish that they're working with now.
But just like when they brought in the Asian carp to solve one problem, created another.
And they're everywhere.
I always go ahead and tell the story about the mouse and the elephant.
Mouse and what?
Mouse and the elephant.
What's
that? Okay, well, in a village in India, they went ahead and had a problem with mice. So they went ahead and brought in cats to take care of the mice. And the cats grew in population tremendously. And they wanted to get rid of the cats. So they brought in dogs to go ahead and get rid of the cats. So the cats were gone, dogs came in, and the dogs were just ruining the area. So they brought in lions to go ahead and take care of the dogs. The lions took care of the dogs, but then the lions were trying to take care of the men. So they brought in elephants to take care of the lions. And then there were too many elephants. So they brought the mouse back in to go ahead and take care of the elephants. So,
everything is cyclical.
But there is a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of that stuff that goes on.
It's like a good product.
It is. That's the big thing. You're going to see these no matter where you are, unless you're on a deeper, colder lake. Your odds are going to go down. But on most of the lakes and the rivers and in the country, you're going to see these things if you don't already see them. And again, there's an ebb and flow to them. So you can have 5 years where they're absolutely horrendous, followed by several years where they're not. But once they get to the point of buildup like that, that's not going away. If it's on some structure, that has to be physically removed once it gets built up. And if it's causing issues with weighting the docks down, if it's causing issues with people climbing in and out of the water on the ladders, you know, that's where a product like ours comes in handy. You know, we can keep that buildup from happening. So once you start with that, you clean it off so it looks like this, and you don't get that again with the product. So that's what we're trying to say is if you're operating your marina, you've got a lot of areas that are going to be touched by mussels. And how are you going to deal with it? What's the cost there to you to deal with it as you're running your operation? Is there someone currently, like I said, out there that you're employing that's taking too much time away from something else that could be done because they're dealing with mussels? Is this something that your customers are complaining about, and what can you do to help them out? So this product can do that.
Any other questions? Well, drop by and see us. We're at 315.
Yep.
Thank you very much.